Hey, this is Nick Brophy from the River Dogs, and I give you the right to rock.
The right to rock. Texas, you're listening to the Right to Rock podcast, the only heavy metal and hard rock show on the net made by fans for fans. And now get ready for two guys who are so metal, they pour motor oil on their cereal. It's Genghis and Ragbag.
Hey, this is Nick Brophy from the River Dogs, and you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman show. Horns up.
Guys, you are on live with Genghis Ragman and Nick Brophy from the River Talks. I can't believe it. You know, Genghis and I have talked about this for many, many years. The River Dogs are probably one of our favorite bands. And that first record is just an absolute classic. Nick, welcome to the show. And just want to thank you for the first record. For the River Dogs, because it was so amazing.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, I get that a lot about the first album, I should say. People really love that record, and it still resonates with people even today. And that's, you know, part of the goal of this new record was to kind of a continuation of that first one, both in sound and theme. So I think we got pretty close to the goal with it. I mean, I'm really happy with it, so I hope you guys like it too.
Definitely, what I've heard so far has been really good. I noticed you've continued the trend of being kind of, you've got some more introspective stuff along with some more kind of general kind of rockin' stuff, kind of spirit of rock and roll type stuff. But
right.
I think the biggest and most obvious thing that hits most people is the incredible voice of Rob Lamoth.
Oh yeah. I know. I even me, you know, I've followed him because we live separately now. I live in Nashville, Viv and Mark live in L.A., and Rob lives in Toronto area of Canada. And I follow him online, you know, with things that he's posting of himself singing and some of the records that he's made in the interim. And, you know, always great. But I can't believe how great he sounds all these years later. I mean, if you put the albums all on back-to-back, you know, side back-to-back, and listen, I mean, he sounds as good, if not better, now than he did back then, and that's just really amazing. But, you know, the guy has a gift, not only in his ability, but in his instrument. I mean, it's a one of a kind, you know, and I've always loved his voice. That's what attracted me to him from the get-go, you know, was... he was in a band called Aircraft in San Diego, and this was probably back in 1984. And I was in a kind of a rival band, and I saw those guys play, and I was like, wow, these guys are great. Not only their songs, but his voice. So it was then my goal to get in that band. So that's kind of how far back we go.
I was just going to say, and I know a lot of people, I don't know if they've read the story, but certainly I have, and it was known back then that Vivian Campbell, I think he came in to produce the album for you guys, and he was so excited about everything that he wanted to play on the album as well, right? Because you were the original guitarist.
Actually, I came in on bass. There was another guitar player that was the manager's little brother.
Ah.
Originally, what happened was the drummer from that band that I just mentioned, Aircraft, Alan De Silva, had joined a band called the River Dogs, and he called Rob, and he said, "Hey, we need a singer and a bass player because we're about to get rid of the ones we have. But I think this band could get signed because Vivian Campbell from band Whitesnake is producing us, and I think we can get a deal." And so we were intrigued, and we came up, and I thought, well, my main instrument is a guitar, but I'll play bass just to get this project to go, you know? And then, and as we continued, you know, I know that Vivian was pretty surprised at, you know, the quality of Rob's voice and the songs that he and I were bringing into that version of River Dogs. And, and I think simultaneously he was planning his exit of Whitesnake. And so one day, we got called to go and record at Steve Vai's house in the Hollywood Hills to do a demo, you know, of one of the songs. And the song was Holy War. That was the very first song that we demoed as River Dogs. And Vivian began singing and playing on that demo that night, you know. And we were so excited. Rob and I think they were working on the track or something like that. And Rob and I were out walking through the neighborhood there, right under the Hollywood sign in the background, you know, lighting up the hillside. And we were just thinking, wow, you know, Vivian's playing on our demo. That's all we thought of it, you know. That he was just going to be making an appearance on this thing. But I think that when he heard it back, and he had so much fun, you know, working in a band situation that possibly he could be. Instead of a hired guitar player, but actually be a member of a band. I think he had missed that, you know. So then we got a call from our manager to meet, and Vivian had an announcement to make. And so we sat there, and he just said, "Yeah, I want to be a River Dog." So he joined the band. And at that point, not that I had that opportunity then, but I just decided to stay on bass and make the most of that because he wants to play second guitar to Vivian, right?
Sure. Well, I think you did a great job, though, I think, on Bone because you did the guitar work on that, right? And I thought that yeah. sounded really good.
Oh, thank you. Well, again, that was my main instrument all along. We did try to audition guitar players, but... everyone had their, you know, it kind of changed the sound of River Dogs once Vivian had left, and I kind of knew what kept the sound of River Dogs as a guitar player, and so we decided to change out bass players, and I just moved up to guitar. So
nice, because I love your solo on Two Birds, man.
Oh yeah, thank you.
Beautiful solo.
Yeah, I'm happy with that too. I mean, that was a fun album to make, and that was. Kind of my foray into engineering and producing that Bone record was done basically in Rob's Simi Valley, Southern California garage studio.
Oh, wow.
And back then, of course, you have just a Tascam, I think we had a Tascam tape 16-track machine, and very limited, you know, but we just right. try to try to make the most of it. Yeah, and actually what happened is once Vivian left the band, the Epic Records, Epic Associated, which is the label that we were on for that first record, they kept hold of us. They wouldn't really commit to making a new record without Vivian and wouldn't also let us go. So we were there for about a year. Yeah, a year just kind of trying to find a way to go, you know, a direction to go. And during that time, there was actually a German record label that asked if we wanted to do something, you know. And so we finally were let go from Epic, and then we did Absolutely Live, which was that next project that we did. And that was that live record. And we then shortly after, I think that might have been 91 or 2 that album came out. And then we were with that same label in Germany, did Bone. And I think that was probably sold to the Japanese label later on, the rights to that album. So that's how it ended up there. But
Nick, I really dug the song Pennsylvania off Bone. What a great track. You got a cool story how that song came together for you guys.
Something I can keep. I'm just trying to hold on. This pain is tearing my heart. Pennsylvania, I love you. Will you play your part? There's a place.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was one of the early songs that we did. I think Rob had that for a while, maybe even shortly after Aircraft broke up. And I know that we demoed that during the time of the first record. Vivian had an Akai 12-track machine that we used in our rehearsal studio. For the year, kind of, we got signed in 89, and then our album came out in June of 1990. So during that year, we were holed up in a rehearsal studio and did a lot of demoing and stuff like that. And so that was one of the songs that we demoed as with Vivian, but it didn't make it on the first record. And so we kind of redid it for the Bone.
So, Nick, it's been 6 years since World Gone Mad. Why now? Why the River Dogs back in 2017? Believe me, I'm not complaining. I'm very over the moon about it. Genghis and I are both. But why now? What changed to where you guys thought, hey, we can make this happen right now in 2017?
Yeah. Well, Vivian had worked with a label out of Italy called Frontiers Records, and he did, I think, a Def Leppard record for them, and then he did the Last in Line album also with them. And I guess the label president was a fan of the River Dogs as well, and so he asked Vivian, he said, hey, if your band River Dogs ever wants to do a record, we'd love to do that as well with you. So Vivian asked all of us band guys if we wanted to entertain that idea, and of course we all were excited to do it. So that's kind of how we got started. And I guess we did the World Gone Mad project, and that was a little less of a focused project. We just kind of got together and played some music and really just for fun, and the release of that was kind of an afterthought, you know. This was more of like, hey, we have an opportunity to really have a direction and do a proper River Dogs album. And the label Frontiers was very I guess they just really liked that first record and told us, hey, if you could make it along that line, that would be amazing. And so we had that in mind as a target, you know, like, oh, well, let's just do like a continuation of that first record, both in theme and also in sound. And so we basically raided the Death Leopard locker where Viv had all his old amps for that first record. And we literally grabbed all that gear and brought it to the studio so we could get back to that first record as best we could. And I even called Jeff Lixman, who was the producer and mixer of that first album, for all the technical details that I could get from him on the making of that record. That would be like, you know, what mic's choices and what reverbs that he was using on that and things like that. So it was nice to actually have a goal, you know, to shoot for like that. It kept us within some parameters because, as you know, you can go any which way. When you get together and make a record, you can decide, hey, let's do a bunch of samples and we'll do some synth bass in there. And, you know, but you could take it totally modern, or you could just, like, what we chose to do was let's go after the sound of what River Dogs are and what everyone likes about that first record and then just stay close to that.
Nice. So was it in doing so, did you also maybe try to replicate the sort of in-studio writing experience of it all and try to do it all together in-house, or was the songs already written that you brought in?
Yeah, we did. We did. The bulk of it was done on the spot.
Nice.
There are only two songs I can think of that were pre-written, and that would be American Dream, which Rob wrote jamming with his son Xander, who's a drummer in Canada. They kind of worked up an idea and a melody, and I think a lot of the lyric already. And he brought that to the writing sessions in Los Angeles where we all met up. And then the other one was Mark, the drummer. He had the song You're Too Rock and Roll. He had the music. He actually had a whole song and he brought in, but I never actually heard the melody and lyric that he had. We just kind of like played the music part of it, and Rob did his own take on the lyric and melody. So from what Mark tells me, it's completely different than what he had for it. But those two songs were kind of pre-done. Then the rest, we just kind of were in a kind of a rehearsal setup at Mark, the drummer. He has a friend that allowed us to set up in their house, their like living room, with the full band set up with a PA and amps and drum set, and then we just kind of like played, and the rest of it came that way.
Nice. I like that the new album continues the trend that was started on the debut album of having a song about a location. So first there was America, and then it got smaller and went to Pennsylvania, and then it got smaller and went to Catalina. Is that Rob doing that? And is the next one going to be called Downtown or Elm Street?
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully you won't give out addresses, but but yeah, it is that. It's that, you know, Rob, I think his recollection of those early years in music, in his music career, was Southern California. I mean, that's where he was born and raised, and a lot of the memories of the of North Hollywood and even down in San Diego and just the Southern California area was very influential in all of that early music that Rob was doing. And so I think to put himself back in that vicinity kind of, it was inspiring, you know. It was kind of in his mind how he continued those stories of the people, of those subjects that were sung about on the first record. And Catalina, I thought, wow, that's so brilliant, because it is a cool name and it's a part of Southern California, and it's not an obvious name, you know, that you think of, but it's very colorful and very like, if you're from that area, you know of Catalina Island, but you know, half of us never even went out to make a trip out there before, you know. So yes. I thought it was kind of a really cool title.
Well, I tell you what, let's jump into the new album. It's called California, out on Frontiers Records, and the first single is American Dream. Dick, can you tell us something about the video and American Dream, the single?
Rob had started that one up in Canada and had most of it finished. And I think that was kind of a start on, as we were referencing back to the first album, we would kind of say, oh, this kind of covers the base of such and such song off the first record. And I think in his mind, that was the I Believe of the new record, you know? That's how that kind of came and was brought into the mix, you know. As far as it being chosen for the video, I think that was the label's first comment. You know, it was like, oh, that has to be the single. So we kind of all moved forward in with the thought that that would be the first single to, you know, make them happy and make them really run with this record and promote it I think the video came out amazing. So I don't know if you've seen it yet, but we're really happy.
I really dug the video. It was a cool video. It looked like you guys were having a lot of fun and stuff like that there. Another track that's really kind of grabbed me early on is a track called Something Inside. So I was wondering if you had a cool story about how that track came together for you guys.
She hears music from somewhere else. Yeah, yeah. She knows these are the good years, and there is not a better place to be herself.
Yeah, because that was the very first one. That was the very first idea. And yeah. The way that happened, yeah, that was Rob. And once we discussed, like, oh, yeah, we're going to make this record, well, Rob and I were still at our locations, and Mark and Vivian were in Los Angeles, and Mark has a studio, a home studio, and they decided, well, let's get some ideas going. So they got together one afternoon and came up with that was the very first one that was sent out to us. So, and I really like that too. And I remember Rob commenting, like, oh, that has a very Robin Trower-ish kind of guitar part to it. And he was very inspired. So, yeah. And it's funny what you draw from that inspires you, you know. And for Rob, that was definitely it's like a justification, like, oh yeah, this is going to be really good, you know. That was the first song that came by that was like, okay, we can sink our teeth into this. So, but all of them came about when we got together and played in that house, you know, the rehearsal environment, and we didn't just start playing some ideas, and we all jumped in and started writing, and we all just play our parts, and we kind of stay in our lane, so to speak, individually, but work collectively towards the song. And I think at this point we all know how to arrange something, you know, arrange the parts of a song and the structure, and so that was so easily done. And often Rob would have a lyric started right there on the spot. A lot of the choruses were done while on those writing trips in California, and then a lot of the verses were completed on his own up in Canada when he got back home.
So, Nick, when you guys decided to get back together, it's been 6 years since you played together and stuff like that. How hard was it for you guys to get the chemistry back and to feel comfortable playing together again? Was it instantaneous, or was it something, let's work out some kinks or something like that? How did everything work out when you guys got back together?
Yeah, it was so funny because the very first time when we made the first writing trip out here, we all have our own things going on, obviously, and we kind of converged, and then Mark had this house set up with all the gear, so all we had to do was show up and plug in, and we could start creating, right? Well, we stared at each other and like, what do you want to do? Because we really, you know, we hadn't played in forever and together, so we decided just to start playing Whisper off the first record, you know,
just to
get the cobwebs off. And it was really fun. And then we got down to business, and it really started quickly. Again, because Vivian, I think he has a little collection on his iPhone of little riff ideas that that he liked, you know, that he had started. And just kind of referenced that a little bit and started playing something. And then we'd all just jump in, drums and bass, and Rob would start singing the melody, and that's how they all kind of happen, which I love, because that limited time that we had together and the focus, you know, to just get on it, and also the goal of adhering to that first first album, allowed us to just kind of like get inspired quickly, maintain the energy and the spontaneity. We had, we it spanned a bit of time, but because logistically and schedule-wise, see, Vivian is currently on tour, right, with Def Leppard, and then also he had done Last in Line, which he had also dates lined up for. So we only had him very limited amount of time. So we had to strategize how we were going to get this thing accomplished. Now, the good part of that was that we had, like I said, we captured the spontaneity and the energy of the writing, and then ultimately the recording too, because we had only limited time for that too. But we do it in little stages along the way. So initially, we wrote six songs, and then at the end of the week, we went in and demoed those, kind of just get the idea down. So we did that, and then came back a month or 2 months later and did the same thing, wrote six more songs, and then we went in and recorded those demos, and then we sat with those demos for a while, and then we decided, okay, let's start building this record up. So I went out and tracked drums. I booked a session with Mark, and we got Clear Lake Audio in Burbank and just tracked drums over those guide tracks that we had done previously. So basically just replace the drums with the real drums in the big room. So then we had that done, and then I came back and I did my bass part at home. And so then we had the rhythm tracks done, and then I booked another session and flew out several months later and did Vivian when he was available. And literally the guy, poor guy, he has like 3 days available, and we had to track all the electrics for the whole record in 3 days. Wow. So it's a bit of the same thing. It's just spread out a little more. It's not all at one whack, you know?
Mm.
So, Nick, what are the chances we might catch you guys live? I know logistically it's not the easiest thing for all you guys to get together and play together. I know Vivian's got a lot of stuff going on. I'm sure the other guys have stuff going on as well as yourself. But what are the chances we may see you live? I know Frontiers does a festival every year. Maybe that's the venue. I don't know. But do you think we'll be able to catch you live somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, that's being talked about as we speak, because the label has some requests of us too. You know, they want to promote this thing for us, and to help us do that, they want to choose some select shows that could really help with that, you know. And we're all for it, but again, like you mentioned, just the schedules and the logistics involved, because we don't want to just show up and play. We like to rehearse and be good and deliver not only just this album, but parts of the first record, parts of Bone, and, you know, different things that we require a bit of rehearsal and even for Viv, putting together a rig that can handle all of that, you know, sonically and everything. And then when Rob and I do come into LA to rehearse, assuming it's there, then there's accommodations involved. You know, it's like a bit of a production to do that. So they would have to be just the right gigs, but we're open to that right now, and we're hoping that the album does well enough to where there's a demand for us to come out and do some good shows, and we'd love to do it.
What, Nick, if you guys play live, man, we would love to see it, man. We would be clamoring for it. And as a special offer to you, Genghis and I will personally help you and the guys come up with a set list.
Yeah, okay, you got it.
Nick, before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
Oh, man, I just want to thank everybody for the dedication. You know, like I said, I get so many compliments on that first record. We hope that we delivered for you on this new record. We're all thrilled with it, and I hope that we get to play some gigs. And if we do, just keep spreading the word about River Dogs, and maybe we'll get to come play for you.
Done.
We want to thank you for coming on the Genghis Ragman Show here on therighttorock.com. And we want to tell all the fans to grab River Dogs' brand new record, California, out now on Frontiers Records. It is awesome. Nick, great talking to you, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
She is sinking in the depths of a liquid heart. She flows and flutters and knows my name. Fearless and flawless, the keeper of my secrets. For both of us, she holds.
And Ragman.
And you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is the theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X, Adam and Joseph, and lent us 13 to finish the show, so what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out. And keep checking us out. And horns up.